Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Christian Skelton here with you on this Wednesday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com will be with us at 8 o'clock. PK getting the week off this week. He is on vacation. So Mr. Kuharski will be back with us next week on the program.
We won't yell at his associate the way we I shouldn't say we. I shouldn't lump you into this, but I won't yell at him.
I was kind of a witness to some of the negotiating going on between you two yesterday about potentially getting him in next week, and we'll see how that goes.
We will.
Thought it was a hot start from Rex Road in negotiation, and it faded quickly, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think he's just playing hard to get. We'll see.
Maybe so. Maybe so. All it takes is a big gulp, and we'll see what happens.
I ask for opening times for certain restaurants. Like, I'm making plans here, okay?
So we do, every year, we look forward to the quarterback tiers in the NFL that Mike Sando comes out with at The Athletic, and it's very well done. Like, he talks to a bunch of people in the NFL and kind of stacks it all up with the quarterback tiers, and he's done it for years now at this point, and it's always fascinating to see how people in the NFL view quarterbacks and kind of where they stack up and all those things. And now for I believe this is year two of this on the college front, that The Athletic has thrown out there. Antonio Morales and Sam Kahn have put this out there. And it's basically, it's the quarterback tiers, and it's going all 138 of them in college football at the Division I level.
So it's projecting starters in some cases. Yeah.
So, for instance, they had to pick a starter between Faison Brandon and George McIntyre with Tennessee. And they ended up picking Brandon, which it seems like everybody is right now, and we'll get into here in just a few minutes kind of where he ranks here. But, you know, it's very interesting the way that they do this. So basically there are seven tiers here, and some of it's self-explanatory, right? Like tier one is obviously the best of the best and the elite quarterbacks, and you get down a couple of tiers and it's, you know, veterans who may not be elite, but, you know, they've got potential to ascend this year. you get into like tiers 4 and 5, and it's quarterbacks basically who largely haven't played yet and are either freshmen coming in who haven't started yet, or some older upperclassmen quarterbacks that haven't started. And then you get into like the 6 and 7 part of it. Like tier 6, for instance, is former Power 4 blue chip recruits who have found new homes and are trying to make the most of their new opportunities, plus some veterans who've just not put it all together yet. So it's all over the map here in terms of like the tiering and how these guys are ranked here. It is, when you start talking about the elite quarterbacks this year, we've talked about the potential of this quarterback class to be really good. And, you know, to a certain degree, it's wait and see mode on all that front, because I remember last year at this time, people were talking about, you know, Cade Klubnik and Norris Sellers and Carson Beck and all these guys. And it did not end up playing out that way when it came to the actual season. But I do look at this quarterback class, and I think it's got a chance to be pretty good. I will admit, a little bit surprised to see Trinidad Chambliss at number 1 on this list in the tiered quarterback part of this. So, Joe, what do you make of this quarterback tier list that has come out at The Athletic?
I love it. And these guys did, I mean, Antonio and Sam did a ton of work on this. So you got, I think, a quote, it looks like, at least one quote on everybody in here. So this is an exhaustive project, and I think it's really worthwhile. And, yeah, that's a surprise. Arch Manning at 7 is a surprise. Like, I think, I mean, he's behind. Well, I mean, you quickly go through it. It's Chambliss. I think some people would assume Arch would be 1. Or Arch, Dante Moore, maybe some combination. But Trinidad is, I got to say, the way he played down the stretch, I mean, Trinidad Chambliss, if he's going to build on that, man, he I don't know, like, NFL-wise, because of his size, you know, like, he's listed at 6 foot and he might be like 5'11", you know. And so that's not a non-starter, but that's obviously makes it more challenging. But I'm here for it. I mean, I'm here for him as a Heisman candidate, and I think that's a surprise, but it's not like out of the blue. Dante Moore, CJ Carr, Darian Mensah, Julian Sand, Drew Mestemaker, Oklahoma State at 6, then Arch Manning. And then Sam Levitt ends tier 1. Sam Levitt, of course, going to play for Lane at LSU. So it's a really interesting top there. And like you said, like last year, I should have done this. I should have pulled up last year's. But, I mean, Lenora Sellers, I think, was probably tier 1
probably
last year.
So, yeah.
Well, he's tier 3 right now. He's down to 18, high in tier 3 this year. So, whereas, like, in tier 2, you've got guys like, well, you got Marcel Reed at 13. We talked a lot about him yesterday. I think a really surprising one here is that John Mateer is the bottom of tier 2 at 16. Remember, John Mateer was absolutely, he was listed among the top probably 2 or 3 Heisman candidates for several weeks last year. Then he got hurt, came back, was bad against Texas, and kind of faded. But that's, I mean, if I'm him, I might look at this and be a little bit ticked off.
Well, some names of note here locally. Number 25 on this list, Nico Iamaleava, he quarterback at UCLA, former Tennessee quarterback. That's where he slots in on this. Jared Curtis coming in at 57 for Vanderbilt. So talking about a new starter, and this quote here is from an SEC assistant, said, quote, "We couldn't afford him, but we liked him. I think he's really good. We'll see what his mental makeup is. I think he's going to get beat up early, and if he can weather, then I think he'll be fine." But 57 for Jared Curtis. Faison Brandon coming in at number 75. Tennessee.
Another quote from an SEC GM asked, "It was Curtis worth the hype?" The quote is, "Probably so, yeah." So, yeah, it's interesting. 57, and then so let me do math. 18 spots ahead of Brandon, but some, you know, so obviously some praise for him too. And of course, this means that George McIntyre is just, I guess,
just not on the list.
George McIntyre just doesn't make the list. Poor George. What if George McIntyre just wins the job, man? Just saying. What if he just comes out in camp and it's like, wow, he is just flat out better? Is that impossible?
No, I don't think so.
But And again, I understand with this exercise, you got to make a choice. If I was doing the same thing these guys are doing, I would have made the same choice. I think you choose Brandon. But it does still feel like another slap in the face of George McIntyre. Like, this guy's
people,
done.
I've seen some Tennessee fans that are already talking about like where George McIntyre is going to transfer. And we hadn't even got into fall camp yet. It's like, hey, man, can we get to practice first?
I hope that loser Eli Drinkwitz doesn't get George. By the way, Drinkwitz has this is another thing about these that I like is like it's a great refresher because you need it so bad now in college football. And you know, remember, if anybody remembers, you know, Trinidad Chambliss, number one on the list. Where was he last year? Well, he was no one. No one had a clue who he was. You know why? Because Ole Miss was supposed to have a superstar in Austin Simmons. Where is he? He is Missouri's quarterback. Just for like, just going around, this guy's there. This thing is effective. And Austin Simmons, by the way, is ranked 26. One spot behind Nico. Yeah, Nico at 27, that's probably about right. I mean, after the first half of last year, I would have guessed like 111th. But he did turn it on, man. Let me read this from a Big Ten assistant coach about Nico. Quote, "This guy is so freaking good. Single-handedly beat Penn State. Dangerous in every sense of the word. Can make every throw." End quote.
Maybe a little bit of an oversell, but okay.
Yeah, like he's had some bad moments too. But I don't know. Nico's intriguing. It's like, is there going to be a delayed reaction Tennessee fan looking? The problem is, or maybe that good thing if you're a Tennessee fan, they're not gonna win at a high level. He might be really good though, and I think Bob Chesney actually is a good hire for them.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie? What's up, Joe?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, I hear y'all talking about these quarterbacks. Hey, big fan of Trinidad Chambliss. Joe, I understand the size kind of may hurt him a little bit. You say 6 foot, I say 5'11". He may be 5'10", but he's got a great arm. He's a great athlete. He really turned it out in the SEC last year. I think the biggest disappointment, Joe and Robbie, is Robbie's hated nemesis. Beamer up in South Carolina. I thought that Lenore Sellers, the big thing he could do for himself if he really wanted to move himself up in the draft, he should have transferred and went somewhere else. I just don't see it, especially with that offense that Beamer runs in South Carolina. I don't see it working for him. And he's probably going to be a late third, fourth round draft pick in the NFL when he may have could have been a first round pick. I mean, he just made a bad decision to me. I like Levitt. I'm picking Levitt, Joe, at LSU to be my Heisman.
Okay. I hope you're wrong, buddy. I like him a lot. He's good.
He's an outstanding quarterback. But, you know, I think I've joined Robbie's club with hatred for Beamer. Robbie, I don't know how I got to that with you, man, but I hear Robbie clapping his hands, but – yeah, I think Beamer will be the first coach to go this year. I don't see South Carolina having a really great year. You talk about Manning's down there a little too far. I put him in the top three. I really do, but it's contingent on what he does. And I don't really think Joe and Robbie, I know y'all gonna wonder why I'm saying this. I don't think the coach of Texas, I don't think he's a big game coach, man. I see him he's not. I don't see him winning the big one this year. He'll get to the playoffs, but it'll be a disappointing year for Texas. I just see it that way with them.
Yeah.
But I don't see him winning that. Kentucky might win the SEC. That coach put it out there the other day. So Kentucky might win the SEC this year. Who knows?
You'll see.
I know y'all heard his presser the other day. But hey, Joe, Robbie, I just wanted to holler at y'all a minute, man.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, y'all have a good day. See you, Joe. See you, Robert.
See you, buddy. Good. He hits a lot of takes there, including Kentucky might win the SEC.
He brought up
dropping the mic on the last one.
He brought up Lenore Sellers. I mean, we mentioned there's a lot of quotes in here that are very positive. This is a quote, a couple of quotes from this exercise that has been done at The Athletic on Lenore Sellers. Quote, "I wanted to like Sellers so bad, but you just watch the film and it's hard to like him," a power four offensive coordinator said. He's very inconsistent as a passer. His highs are as high as probably anybody in the draft, but his lows are bad. Another SEC assistant said, quote, he's not accurate enough to just drop back and throw the ball all the time. I think Kendall Briles will help him make him run a little bit more and do what he does well, which I think will help.
Yeah, I mean, I 6'3", 240. I agree. Some of the plays he makes are like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, it's Brugler has a take on him, too. Inconsistent reads, undeveloped pocket presence, has to improve, you know. Or what? I guess he's got him at 6'4", 245 with a 4'4". I mean, but again, does that make you think a little bit of like Anthony Richardson, yep, kind of some of the same knocks, you know? So, I mean, maybe Mark's right. Like, maybe he should have gotten away from Goober Ball. But I feel like, yeah, you know, Kendall Briles will probably be good for him. The inconsistency and the accuracy is still just something that he just has to improve on. By the way, Beamer, you know, Mark brought up Beamer real fast here. We talked about him as the most likely. So Andy Staples came out with his hot seat.
Yep.
Lincoln Riley, Belichick, Bill O'Brien, Norvell, Fickell, Mike Locksley, Dave Aranda, Scott Satterfield, and all those are prime. And then Shane Beamer is his one SEC guy. So it's crazy to see a hot seat list with one SEC coach. That's what happens when a whole bunch of them just got fired.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on quarterbacks and college football coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Football offseason coverage on 102.5 The Game, presented by Tennessee Brew Works and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, on college football quarterbacks. The quarterback tiers out at The Athletic. Really good stuff at The Athletic. Again, it's 1 through 138, so a lot of work done on this process here. By the way, Mr. Irrelevant, number 138 on the list. Trey Hedden, the quarterback of New Mexico State, coming in at 138. So, Trey, if you're reading this article, a lot of disrespect being thrown your way. Get out there and do something about it this year.
And Trey, a couple years ago, 3 years ago, there was a quarterback at New Mexico State. No one had any clue who he was.
Yep.
So, just saying, you just don't know what's going to happen. Caleb brings up a fair point. Says, y'all are going to have to explain to me how Keelan Russell, Jared Curtis, and Faison Brandon, all with minimal zero playing time, are ranked so differently. And I responded to him like, I mean, like, so you're going, one, you're going by like what people saw at camps and stuff like that. And you're going with talking to people based on practice and how things look right now. I mean, that's, you know, to me, conversation like that is why you even have a Brandon in and a McIntyre out.
Yeah.
Right. So, and he said, so Curtis is almost 20 spots ahead of Brandon based off practice. LOL, come on. Yeah, I mean, now, look, the unknown, you know, when you have to go by, you got to go by camps and all that stuff. And Jared Curtis was, I think somebody had him as a number one player at one point, correct, right? So he is considered, I mean, obviously this could turn out to be so very wrong, right? That he would be, you know, 18 spots ahead of Faison Brandon.
Well, there's a huge gap Brandon between all have, of them, right? Like, yeah. Keelan Russell. Now, you're talking about different things. Like, Keelan Russell was last year. So, he's been in college football. He's not played much. I think he threw two touchdown passes.
But he played a little bit. And the buzz on him is undeniable.
Yeah. So, I mean, so he's at 33. Curtis is at 57, Brandon at 75 on this list.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it. It's like, why would you? But I also wouldn't want these guys to just take, because you could do it where it's like anybody who really hasn't played, just lump them into.
Yeah.
We'll put them all between, you know, 70 and 90 and leave it that. I don't mind them actually trying to figure out, okay, well, because if I had to rank those three, I would rank them in that order. I don't know if I'd have the same gap, but again, I also don't. Yeah, they did the work on all these players, and so they did the work on Brock Lowry, who's 58, and they did the work on, you know, Aiden Childs and Malik Murphy and Malachi Singleton, who are just before Brandon. So you're trying to do 138. That can't be easy. But, I wouldn't get too worked up about it.
If I were ranking, if I had to put together my top five heading into the year, here's what I would go. I would go C.J. Carr at number one, Dante Moore at number two, Arch Manning at number three. I'd have Chambliss at number four. I'd have Sain at number five. Those would be my five.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna ease up a little bit on Carr. I think I'd probably have Dante Moore one. I might go just flip flop one and two and go Chambliss two, Arch three, Carr four, and you know, I guess Mensah. Mensah is going to be really interesting. A lot of talk about Mensah. Our buddy Pat Narduzzi. You know, did you see what he said last week? Yeah. Like basically, they tried to get his guy, and then he called. He called Duke. Said, "Watch out! They're coming for Terry.
Hey, heads up! Yeah,
they're coming for Mensah. Just letting you know, buddy." But that, I'd probably go with him. Texter Jeremy Clarksville says Marcel Reed is as good or better than Arch Manning just based off body of work. Reed just doesn't have the right last name. Look, Marcel Reed said it yesterday. Like, Marcel Reed is a sneaky player for the Heisman. And the bottom line is, the interesting thing is, I guess with like a month to go last year, Marcel Reed was having a way better year than Arch Manning. Arch Manning finished on a high, and Marcel Reed did not. He struggled. But I'm a believer, no question. He says, if Texas QB's name was Arch Schmellinger, I'd like to know what the tier. Yeah, I mean, look, there's some truth to that. I think some of the overwhelming hype about him last year certainly had a lot to do with his name. But, like, I mean, he wasn't just some scrub who was out there. Well, this kid can't even throw a football, but his name is Manning. I mean, let's be real. He is a talent.
I think it sometimes goes the other way, too. I think the hype gets out of control, and I think the criticism when it's bad gets out of control, too, when it comes to the last name part of it.
Look, man.
I mean, look, if you're talking about some of these things that stand out, like I have Julian Sain in my top five. I think independent of the talent, he's very good. But the talent around him, like he ought to have the best year in college football this year, bar none. Like he ought to have the best quarterback year in college football this year based on who he's throwing the ball to. I mean, you could say similar stuff about Arch, right? Like Arch throwing the ball to Cam Coleman. He ought to have a pretty darn good year
out there.
Yeah, and Ryan Wingo. Like, you know, you look at some of these other quarterbacks, like there's a ridiculous amount of talent that these guys have at their disposal to throw the ball to this year. And that's got to factor into this as well. But like those two guys in particular, Arch and Julian Sain, pretty darn good talent they're throwing the ball to this year.
No doubt. And again, to the Arch point, hey, 6'4", 226, he has the arm. Yep. He absolutely has the athleticism, the speed. He runs like neither of his uncles, even not even close. Neither of those guys could move anywhere close to him. He runs more like his receiver dad. It's not made-up tools. Is there way more hype and attention, all that? Of course, because of the name. But, yeah, I remember we got into this. Speaking of yelling on the station, actually, it wasn't Jared. It was at Caroline Fenton, who was like, you know, Marvin Harrison is just viewed as one of the top receivers because of like his dad. It's like, no, it's because he's 6'4", runs a 4.4. Now, granted, he hasn't been great in the NFL, but like he was legitimately awesome at Ohio State. It had nothing to do with his dad being Marvin Harrison. Sometimes I think we go too far the other way on that stuff.
Now, one texter says Gunnar Stockton better than Arch. Also had the best stats for fourth quarter play in the entire country. Arch is overrated. Stockton is number 11 on this list, I believe.
So he is right in the middle of tier two. Well, if that's going to be true this year, then
they're probably winning the national.
Yeah, they're going to win the whole damn thing, right? Meanwhile, you got Josh Hoover at 12. Now I don't remember. I'm gonna pull this up. Like last year, where was Fernando Mendoza last year in the quarterback tiers? I promise you, he was not number one. But we know what happened. If Cignetti is going to do something similar with this guy, then, well, I guess it'll be Indiana against Georgia for the national championship. We've just constructed our national championship game.
Well, let me read to you the top five from last year.
Okay.
Get ready for this.
I know Klubnik's in there.
Klubnik is number one. Nussmeier, number two. Lenore Sellers, three. John Mateer, four. DJ Lagway, five, which is objectively
My
hilarious.
Goodness. Yeah, so again, like, I don't think this year will be last year, I think, was one of the biggest. I can't remember a year where so many quarterbacks. And again, this is the quarterback tiers these guys are doing, but the NFL scout stuff was the same thing.
Yeah.
The NFL scouting community was like, oh, Klubnik, oh, yeah. Yep. Sellers, oh, yeah, right? And then you watch them play last year, like, no, never mind. I don't think I can remember a year where so many were so
off.
Lagway, though. Mendoza. I mean, I get it. Like, Lagway is a tremendous talent. It just goes to show you, like, tremendous talent gets you so far.
Mendoza was at number 17 last year.
Okay.
So.
And that's actually, you know, I mean, that's not bad. I could, if you would have told me he was like 28, I would have bought it, yeah. You know, but 17. Okay. So Hoover starting this year at 12 might be scary for people. Yeah. what might happen in Bloomington, the football center of the universe?
I mean, some of the names at the top of this list. I mean, some of them are still there. Like, you know, Mensah was, where is he last year? He was number 18. So okay. he's moved up a bit.
That worked out, yeah. You know.
Arch was number 10 heading into last year. Didn't quite work out that way.
See, that's actually, I'm kind of glad to hear that because I just felt like he was certainly number one by far in terms of everybody talking about him and the Heisman.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay. That's
Lagway, top five last year.
Yeah, the Lagway thing. They just sometimes you just have someone who can have you can have all the tools and it can amount to nothing.
615-737-1025. Our phone number 615-737-1025. More your thoughts on the quarterbacks in college football, plus a hilarious clip from Paul Feinbaum yesterday that we'll get to. Robbie and Rex Road 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road 1025 the game. We have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com will be with us at 8 o'clock on the program here today, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. A lot of reaction to the quarterback tiers list that The Athletic has come out with. Where do you have Julian Sayin on your list, 35th?
I didn't have my top five, did I?
You did not.
He'd be at six. Okay. I'd put him right there. Okay. So just one spot behind where they had him. I mean, he's really good. I like him, no doubt about it. He's it is hard, and maybe it'll be different this year. I think they do have a little bit of like offensive line questions, you know. But last year, here's a quote: Big Ten GM quote: "He's just a game manager, overrated, not a guy who can win them a title." Meanwhile, let's counter that on ACC front office staffer. Quote, I think people are criminally low on Sayin. I think he's a top two or three quarterback, and anyone else who doesn't have him there is wrong. End quote. That's more your thought. I'm probably in the middle on that. I just, like the Michigan game last year, I'm like, look at those pockets. Like, this guy is just standing there. Yeah, let me play catch with
Cornell Tate.
Yeah, two top five picks. Let me play catch with two top five picks while I stand here completely untouched for like 5-6 seconds. And it's like my Joe Montana knocks. It's like if someone gets the job done, you kind of have to give him credit. I also remember the Ohio State Indiana game and he couldn't get anything done at all, you know. But I think he's very good. He's very good and he's not big, so there's that too. I would have him just a little bit outside my top five.
The Dante Moore part of this like is going to be interesting. There are people that think, including apparently an SEC assistant coach that was interviewed for this story, that he would have been first overall if he'd come out in the draft this year. So
interesting. I don't know.
That's what quote, I love Dante. I think Dante would have been the first pick in the draft this year. I love the way he throws. Love how calm he is. Love his demeanor. He's phenomenal, super electric, not only with his arm, but with his feet as well. So pretty good quarterback prospects heading into this year. We'll see how it plays out on the field. I mean, one of these guys that they have in their elite category here in tier one, we're going to look back at the end of the year for at least one of them. We're going to say, yeah, didn't work out so well for that guy this year. I don't know who it's going to be, but it'll be one of them.
Right. So last year it was Klubnik, Sellers. Those two are the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, Nussmeier was...
And Nussmeier. Three guys who, like, it just took a few football games to be like, oh, absolutely, we're totally wrong about that.
Lagway.
Yeah. So Lagway, I would say that the tiers probably had him higher than a lot of people going to last year. Baumgartner, friend of the show, says, is poison maturity on Dante Moore. Calm under pressure, gave off Jaden Daniels vibes. Definitely a number one pick candidate, and I would agree. So maybe this is the year for that. It all comes together. If it does, maybe this is the year I think the best program to never win a championship wins one.
It's been a fun time at SEC Media Days this week. By the way, we'll have updates for today and tomorrow in SEC Media Days, brought to you by Shane Co., Tri-State Water, Power, and Air, and the Music City Kickoff Game featuring Ole Miss taking on Louisville, September the 6th at Nissan Stadium. Get your tickets today at NashvilleSports.com. Vanderbilt's day yesterday at SEC Media Days. You know, Clark Lee making the rounds. And then all of a sudden, Cedric Alexander ends up on Paul Feinbaum, talking about Vanderbilt football, going through, you know, life after Diego Pavia and trying to build on last year and all these things. And Paul Feinbaum makes an assumption about Cedric Alexander that ultimately wasn't true, but it was funny. Here's what that interaction looked like yesterday on the Paul Feinbaum show.
And some players, not all, but you got a degree and you're also married. Congratulations on that. Tell us about a lot of responsibilities for someone. Now, you've been in school for a while, but you're not living the life of the or maybe you are, of the average college student, because a lot more of them do get married these days. Talk about that aspect of your life, if you don't mind.
Well, it's okay. I'm not married, but it's okay because I'm married to the game, and that's one thing that I love is the game, and that's one thing that I enjoy doing is being attached to the games for so long. So.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to hear, because we obviously in reading about you saw you talk about being married. We misunderstood. There's a difference, I think, between being married to a human being and being married to a game. You forced me to follow up. I was going to ask you about your family life, but I can't do that now since you don't have one.
So, can't confirm. Cedric Alexander not married, but he's married to the game out there. Good stuff from him yesterday on Feinbaum.
So I got to know. So was it just like that phrase, married to the game, and Feinbaum just heard married?
I don't know.
Or is there another – a lot of times, yeah, there'll be like a married player, you know.
Sure.
I mean, especially now in college sports, you got 28-year-olds running around out there. Did he mistake him for someone else, or did he just mistake married for the game as married to someone?
I don't know. But it's absolutely hilarious. It's okay. I'm not married, but it's okay, though, because I'm married to the game, right? I'm married to football.
That was a
great pivot from
really,
Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, Cedric Alexander, like, saved that from being less awkward by going with married with the game.
He did.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
That's the first time I've seen Feinbaum, like, just completely stumbling all over himself.
Just flustered.
Yeah.
I hope that somehow the height of awkward TV is always when Lane Kiffin and Paul Feinbaum get together.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I hope that somehow Lane Kiffin can weave this into making fun of him.
I'm sure it might happen.
On Thursday. I think that would be appropriate. You know, Lane may not be everybody's favorite, and we all may be hoping he fails miserably the rest of his coaching career. But I am 100% behind Lane in making this even more awkward than normal with Paul. That was I got to know the backstory, though.
I need some married to the game Cedric Alexander T-shirts for when he scores touchdowns this year. Got to get that. Got to lean into that if you're Vanderbilt, I think.
That's a great point. They like, how about a billboard with him in like a tuxedo?
Yeah, you just know? Married to the game.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, there's
a football, in all seriousness, a football and a wedding dress.
Feinbaum may have just secured him an NIL deal, you know? They may have just put that on the table.
Businesses of Nashville, this is the door has been opened for you. You absolutely have to have fun with this.
I'm married to the game. It's okay. I'm not married, but I am married to the game. Look on Feinbaum's face. It's like, oh, well, information's wrong on that one. Sorry.
So who does the cleaning and the cooking? Oh, the game or you?
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game. It is time for the Rex Rant, served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville.
Was I dying that day?
His voice was struggling that day.
My God. What did I have?
I don't know.
Bronchitis, COVID?
I'm trying to remember the guy that you wanted Tennessee to hire.
Oh,
I think he was coaching Indiana.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
He?
No, no. He was one of a few people I mentioned. Yeah, Tom Allen.
Yeah, Tom Allen.
Yeah.
We both had some spicy ones that day on the Josh Heupel front. It's worked out pretty nicely for Tennessee.
Yeah, Chris, you only played mine. He only played my commentary. Did you not say something that day?
According to tape, no. Like, it was you.
You just stood there and said, I don't know. He'd probably be pretty good.
Anyway,
good
the floor
stuff.
Is now yours.
Good stuff. Well, thank you. Josh Heupel, Heisman-winning quarterback, national champion. This guy I'm about to talk about didn't quite pull off those things. But yeah, Tom Brady, when you think about Tom Brady and you think of his legacy, you know, you're talking about a guy who, you know, worked his way into being a part-time starter as a senior at Michigan. Now, he was Brian Griese's backup for the team that got a share of the national title, which was Michigan's first in a half century. Sixth-round pick. He did some good things in the NFL. You know, he was an effective quarterback in the NFL. I'd say he was one of those guys that we looked at and said, that guy's pretty good. Had that trainer and all that stuff. He had the deflating the foot, whatever. I mean, there's some stuff that went on. But a pretty good legacy for Tom Brady, I'd say, right?
Sure.
Like, for the most part, a good legacy. I don't want to yell about this. You know, all rants don't have to be yelling rants. I just would ask the question, like, now that he's worked his way up to be probably one of the top 12 to 14 color analysts in the NFL, he's got a piece of the Oakland Raiders. He's got a lot going on for him. He's doing
Vegas
roasts. Did I say Oakland Raiders? Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry. They're always going to be the Oakland Raiders to me. What is he? Like, seriously. Yeah, I'm kind of joking, but what is this pro wrestling crap he's doing?
I don't know.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. And I saw the video last week of him slapping Logan Paul in the face and was like, okay, well, that's got to be fake. So there's that. And then at the – I guess was it the World Cup where they're like in the opposite box from each other, just flipping each other off. It's like, all right, come on.
Right. I mean, it's like a bad – like YouTube show or something, you know? He doesn't need more money, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure he
doesn't.
I don't
think so.
I mean, I like he'll take it, sure. But that's the type of thing that I would expect someone who's trying to stay relevant, who doesn't have a steady income source, I would expect someone like that to do something like this. Not Tom Brady. So I'm just asking, like, is this for anybody out there, there's people who are just Brady diehards. He's like their favorite. Just like there's people who are Jordan diehards. Like, is this ruining anything for you? Is this alarming you? Is anyone telling Tom Brady, like, maybe, like, you don't have to do everything? You don't have to do stupid stunts like this? You know, be a professional. Be an adult. Is anybody saying that to him? Does anybody care?
I enjoy the way that USA Today describes it. It says, quote, the facelifted middle-aged man, talking about Brady, came to fake blows with a fake wrestler in Midtown in New York on Friday, and then traded raised middle fingers with that same YouTuber, influencer wrestler, across the river in New Jersey 2 days later. The facelifted middle-aged man how they referred to Brady.
Who wrote that?
Chris Bombaca.
Did he say, wait... Did he say, like, they just did it on a day? Did you read that? Did I hear that correctly?
No, I think it was the 2 days later.
But, I mean, what did it say? Did it say, like, this happened on Sunday, or did it say, on July 19th?
That's on a day, yes. No date has been given, just a day.
Did Gannett fix it?
I don't know.
We might have a side excited rant if that's the case. Somebody texted Tom Brady's behaving like Diego Pavia. Yeah, well, Diego Pavia is like a, you know, college kid who's
hasn't made $500 million.
Yeah, like, who doesn't own part of a team, who isn't a lead broadcaster, who isn't a multiple Super Bowl champion, who isn't a father, who isn't a multiple time husband, right? Might be a little bit of a difference.
Michael and Madison says, I don't think the Brady stuff is anything more than him having fun because he spent 23 years of his life doing nothing but football. He's catching up on all the stuff he missed out on during his youth. If a current 23-year-old NFL player did this, nobody would really care.
Well, that's all great.
That's true.
Until you realize he's 48.
Exactly. Like, yeah, you guys are right. If he was in his early 20s, we would have a different discussion. Let me tell you something.
If it was Cam Scataboo, then yeah, knock yourself out, man.
Exactly. Like, I will say I live a little differently now than I did in my early 20s. Slightly differently. Someone says it's because these celebrities just can't get enough money. It's honestly insane, LOL. And Keith says Michael Jordan wouldn't do that fake crap. Someone needs to be in Brady's ear. Tell him no. Yeah, it is interesting. Michael Jordan has gone the way of almost a recluse,
yeah.
Right? Except when he pops up and does his
making own documentary.
Does his own documentary and pounds a lot of bourbon while doing it. But that's what I loved about that documentary is like, The levels of the bottle would just constantly be changing. Yeah. But, it's just kind of, I don't know. Texture says, as a Brady diehard, this is so beneath him. I can't defend him. It's humiliating. That's what I was wondering. Like, for those of you who love him, again, maybe some people didn't like the roast. I mean, I laughed at the roast. I thought the roast was funny. I like roasts, and I thought that he got roasted pretty good, so... Some people would even say that, like, why are you doing a roast, you know, something like that. This is just, it's just fake, you know. I mean, even the roast is like people actually having jokes at the expense of others. And you can kind of, you know, you can kind of have fun with all the Belichick and Kraft stuff and everything. This is just dumb, fake stuff. And these Pauls, I find them to be just, like, completely worthless.
Yeah.
Like, just completely worthless.
So, like, when I first saw it, I was like, so are they, like, going to be setting up, like, one of these big money grab fights that these Paul brothers do? Like, are they, like, Tom Brady going to act like he's going to get there and, like, box somebody? Thinking of box Logan Paul or something?
Yeah, I mean, he's slapping him. Like, if they actually fought, like, it would be ugly, right? I mean, Brady
would
just smash like a stewed chicken. And by the way... It doesn't get talked about enough, the facelifted part
of this.
Yeah,
it's a little much.
What are you doing?
Hey, man.
What are you doing? Just accept your age. Yes, Michael and Madison, I am age gating. He says if we're age gating, then Joe isn't allowed to do anything. Well, I do some things. I go have fun sometimes. You got to pick your spots, okay? But one thing I promise you is that I will never have a facelift. Okay, can't we just age as human beings? Like Brady looks ridiculous. You look at these pictures of him as a young man, and now it's like it's actually frightening.
it's completely different people.
It's like when you see someone like the Hollywood stars, and it's like just accept your aging. You look actually way worse when you do all this plastic surgery.
Hey, I did see Brady. I guess as a part of all this Fanatics Fest that was going on last week, like he threw a ball at a dunk tank, and I think Rob Gronkowski got dumped in a vat of like Raisin Cane sauce or something.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Brady's still got a good arm, man. Still 48, he can still sling that thing.
Well, see, that's just fun, throw, go to a carnival, throw something, get Gronk dunked in something.
I'm just saying, I'm still convinced he could play if he really wanted to.
Do that. Come back and play then. If this is the alternative. That we have to watch these silly, publicity stunts. Then yeah, just come back to the league, man. I don't know. I know it's probably a little bit of again, not really yelling, but old man shaking fist at cloud. I'm just wondering for people who really love Brady.
Well, somebody had to pitch this to him, right? And he had to sit around and be like, yeah. I mean, I guess I'll fake slap Logan Paul. Sure, why not? Like, it's just like, you would think at some point he'd be like, so why are we doing this? Like, what's the reasoning behind all this?
And I'm sure.
Do I need money that bad?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm sure the answer is, like, it's a sum of money that we'd be like, oh my God, really? But he does. I mean, like, what's his net worth? I mean, is he close to being a billionaire? Jordan's a billionaire,
gotta be close.
Right?
One texter says, I grew up in New England my whole life. Love Tom Brady with all my being. But if this really bothers you about Brady, then I feel like you've already made up your mind about him. Is he goofy? Sure. Does he need to do it? No. Is he super weird? Not as weird as Aaron Rodgers, but yes, so strange. Let him be weird.
Okay, you sound like a Brady apologist.
I mean, meanwhile, Rodgers is on a redemption arc right now. He's talking to his family again. There's a lot. Things going well for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's right.
Taking photos of mom and dad.
Tom Brady's getting weird, and Aaron Rodgers is out there just having potato salad at the family reunion.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on here?
I don't know. I don't feel like Aaron Rodgers is getting facelifts either, by the way. Like, someone's got to seriously tell Brady to stop this stuff. He's going to look like Betty Davis in about 10 years.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.